And if it hits 90 degrees tomorrow, which it's supposed to be, that will be the second earliest 90 degree reading on record in Tucson. A very, very warm February indeed. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Our friend Ray Allen is producing and engineering the show today on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to my program, The Buckmaster Show, on this Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. Let's go right to the live line now and the governor of the state of Arizona, Doug Ducey. Governor Ducey, how are you?
Very well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. What do you hear about the JTED legislation getting to your desk, hopefully in a very timely manner? I know they had to go back to the House after it had passed the Senate and House, went back to the House for some tweaking. Where are we right now on that?
Well, I've been updated that it is going back and forth between the House and the Senate, but we met with House leadership and Senate leadership, and of course, Senate President Andy Biggs and Speaker of the House David Gowen are supportive of it, and I'm supportive of JTEDs and talked about career and technical education in my state of the state. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. My only concern was that we do it within the scope of a balanced budget, and I think we're going to be able to do that. So if JTED leads, I'm happy about that.
Governor, was it a mistake last year to cut $30 million from JTED?
You know, Bill, we had a $1 billion deficit, and there were tremendously difficult decisions that needed to be made. So we tried to do that while protecting public safety, protecting child safety, and we protected K-12 education. We're in a position today where we have hundreds of millions of dollars in a cash carry forward account, so we're making responsible decisions, and one of those is that we're going to be able to do a better job for JTEDs.
The Arizona Republic a day or so ago said that the bleak days of deep deficits are over. Would you take issue with that editorial?
Well, I love these prognosticators about the future financial state of the state. We are making investments. We are putting additional dollars, $106 million additional, into K-12 education. And that doesn't even include what we can do with Prop 1, 2, 3, which would be additional $3.5 billion. And we'll do all of that without raising taxes. We're changing the trend line with universities. But I think the idea, and I think most of the listeners, most small business people and all families understand that you have to live within your means. And to me, that's the step one. That's the most important priority to begin with. We got ourselves in a deep financial hole. It was hard to dig out of it. We're finally out. And the last thing that I'm going to do is go back to the reckless policies and runaway spending that we had before.
That editorial also urged you to go slowly on tax cuts. Your reaction to that?
Well, I think you've seen that we've gone slowly on tax cuts. I've talked about tax improvement or more specifically tax reform. States compete and governors compete. It's businesses and people that decide, I want to make Arizona the best place in the country to live, work, and play. And we've got some states like Texas and Colorado and Utah that are making improvements in their quality of life and business climate. And I want to lead the pack here. So we're going to continue to focus on an ever-improving place for both workers and business owners to have a higher quality of life and a higher standard of living. And you noticed our tax reform last year was incremental and responsible, and you can expect the same in this year's budget.
Let's take a quick call. Our friend Jim Kelly, I believe, is on the live line. Jim, you're with the governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Governor, for taking my call. Governor, one of the issues that we deal with in education is we're still using 19th century technologies for the simplest of things, including taking admission. What can the state do to bring the IT and administrative infrastructure into the 21st century and start saving money from these highly labor-intensive administrative functions of the school district statewide?
Jim, thanks very much for the question, and good to hear from you. And that's a great question. And I want to respond by talking about resources and reforms in K-12, because you do see a lot of things that are archaic or 20th century. And some folks would even say we have a 19th century model in terms of how we handle the calendar in K-12 education. So as somebody who is a businessman and wants to bring that thinking to state government, I focus on results. What do we want to see for our kids inside these schools? What do we value? How do we measure success? Things like third grade reading, eighth grade math, high school completion, going on to college. To me, Jim, anytime I've seen an excelling school, I've seen a superior principal. I've seen a really good leader who is focused on the teachers, and those are the most valuable people in addition to the children inside that school, and coaching the teachers up, making sure there's the right personnel inside the right classroom, and there's the right support. So we, if you look at the school districts across the state, we have, you know, several hundred districts that we have, some making a better use of technology than others. What we want to do is make sure we have the right superintendent, the right principal, or the right operator, if it's a public charter situation, and then let them have the flexibility to use the additional dollars that we'll be able to push into the base formula with success in Prop 1-2-3 to make the decisions that are best for that school. And if that's an improvement in technology, let them spend it on that. If teacher raises or an investment in English language learning, let them make that investment. That's, I think, the best way to do it and the best way to take advantage of the innovation that we see at this time.
Treasurer DeWitt, who your successor in the treasurer's office, he has talked about we really can't afford Prop 1-2-3. He's very worried about dipping into the state trust land. What can you say to assure the treasurer that it's okay?
Well, the state trust exists to benefit K-12 education. Prop 1-2-3 will benefit K-12 education even more, and the endowment will be worth more 10 years from now than it is today. I mean, this is a real win-win-win for both our teachers, our kids, and our parents. And the endowment will be larger tomorrow than it is today. So I understand people's concern whenever we're going to have additional spending. I want to remind the listeners, Bill, we're doing all of this without raising taxes. The downturn was very difficult on the state of Arizona. Our kids have needs now. This is a public trust, and like I said, it exists to benefit K-12 education, and that's where all these additional dollars are going to go.
Where is your budget right now? I know, lawmakers have their own budget. Where are we in the whole process right now?
That's a great question. We're ready to go on the budget, Bill, but I do think it's important. You want to have the proper amount of time in the public discussion and debate that is worthy of such a large decision. But we worked very hard in that last quarter of the calendar year, October, November, December, to put our budget together. We release it in January. I think last year it was in the public domain for 8 or 9 weeks, and there was no real alternative plan suggested. We're not to that point right now, but we are having discussions with the House and the Senate. We're in a different position now. You know, some people would say, Bill, it's easier to do a budget when you don't have any money, which is where we were last year. This year, there's a couple $100 million more than previous year. So you've got folks that are asking or trying to make the case that those dollars would best be spent on whatever they're advocating for. So we're listening. We're having those conversations. What's most important to me is that, of course, we're structurally balanced, and that we protect and invest in K-12 education, in universities, in public safety, and in child safety. To me, those are the fundamentals. And then I'll let people make their case, and I'll work with the House and the Senate so that we put a responsible budget out there that's thoughtful and is thinking long term.
We have a presidential preference election coming up in March in Arizona. Are you backing one of the Republican candidates at this point?
I am not. I'm 100% focused on my day job. and that's being governor of the state of Arizona. I'm not involved in national politics. My time's not in. My mind is not on that. We will select a candidate through this primary process, and I will be supportive of that candidate.
I know you're big on Mexico-Arizona relations. It looks like Tucson's getting Guaymas Air Service. That's huge.
I think it's huge. I think it's a big deal. I've talked a lot, and I want to continue to make sure we're focusing on securing the border. We've got the Border Strike Force, which is going after drug cartels and human trafficking. So I want to make sure people know that we've got that focus on public safety. But I said during the campaign, and I'll continue to say it through the administration, that we should also realize that Mexico is our largest international trading partner. And it's not even close, Bill, times four. So we should let the good guys trade with the good guys. This is good for jobs on this side of the border. And to have that kind of air service from Tucson to Guaymas is terrific. And I think it's just the beginning of cross-border trade while continuing to focus on public safety. And that's a value that I share. I've gotten to know the new governor of Sonora, Claudia Pavlovich. And she agrees with this.
All right, Governor Ducey, thank you very much for spending a bit of your lunch hour with us. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Bill. It's always great to be on the show. I'll be back in Tucson soon, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next time about Prop 123 and why we need people to vote yes on that.
All right. Thank you, Governor. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bill.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, we welcome another new sponsor. That is always saying that just gratifies my heart. Another new sponsor. And this time, we want to tell you about Janos Wilder's Carriage House, which is the grand opening coming up later this month. This is a new special events venue and cooking school located in the historic Julian Drew Lewis Building in downtown Tucson. That building was constructed in 1917, Janos and the team, they've done a beautiful job remodeling that building. The first cooking class taught by Janos, Saturday, February 27th at 11 a.m. Teaching was one of the prime motivators for Janos to open up the Carriage House. His class will be celebrating Tucson's designation as a UNESCO City of Gastronomy. A variety of classes will be held year-round at the Carriage House. You can find out, sign up for classes 615-6100, extension 1, or go online to CarriageHouse.com.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pests and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apache Reyes Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour for our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Plus, we'll talk education with Tucson Weekly education blogger David Safir. Noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, the live stream, podcast, and archive on my site, buckmastershow.com.
Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Here he is, Shelly Fishman. Shelly having a good day today because I'm seeing lots of green when I look at all the indices.
Yeah, three digits worth. We're up about 200 points, a little bit
Yay!
More than that. We're kind of floating around that number. We're up 300 points on Friday. Of course, the markets were closed yesterday. Hi, Bill.
Hey, that is very good news. So we were up about 300 Friday.
Right.
And then today, 200. So there's about 500 right there, putting a bit of a dent in our
10% correction.
Red ink.
Yeah, that's not
too bad.
And, you know, we talked last week about when the market would find a bottom.
Oh, yes. That's what we've been waiting for.
Bounce off that bottom. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying this is it. I'm not saying that this is the bounce. But we have some optimism based upon Russia and the Saudis getting together and beginning to float out there the prospect of limiting production. Now, if they can get some of the other large producers on board there, we could see the price of oil kind of float back into the $30, $35 range. That I think would bolster the market even more.
We're not hearing Social Security talked about much in this presidential race.
No, we're not.
I mean, that's like, well, why talk about that when everybody can
call each other names.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's the planner part of the financial planner business, the idea that retirement and retirement planning is crucial to the relationship that a financial advisor, a financial planner has with their clients. Social Security makes up, for some people, an alarmingly large portion of their income in their retirement years. And I say alarmingly large is because nobody can live a comfortable life only on Social Security. But it can be the foundation upon which a retirement is built.
Supplement. A nice supplement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, at its maximum, if you've had a kind of a good 30 or 40 quarters and your income was at the highest levels, your Social Security, if you take it at the full retirement age, is going to be in the area of about $30,000 a year. Now, you can't live on $30,000 if you're used to living on $150,000.
Right.
But it's nice to know it's there.
And that's a whole other question, too, yeah. Shell, about when to take it. And there are, you know, so many varying opinions on it. If you can get someone saying, oh, yeah, you should take it at 62. Others say, wait.
Okay. Yeah. So if you take it early, and right now early means 62.
Right.
And you're not working. Mm-hmm. The total discount off the full retirement age is going to be around 25%. So you're taking it 4 years early, and that 4 years is costing you about 8% a year.
Hmm. Wow.
7 or 8% a year. So that is a very important consideration, because once you do it, with one exception, that's going to be for the rest of your life. So that's something you need to learn to live with. Now, the other penalty is that if you take it early and you're still working and you're making more than a minimum amount, I think that number now is 15,000 or somewhere around there.
I think it is 15.
For every dollar that you make over that, you're going to lose 50 cents of your Social Security.
Wow.
So
that goes away at 66.
It goes away at full retirement age at 66. Yeah. Now, Social Security at age 66 can be taxable, mm-hmm. but there's no penalties. If you continue to delay taking it until age 70, mm-hmm. Then it goes up at around 8% a year. So people say, well, why shouldn't I delay taking it? Mm-hmm. And let me do the numbers, and I hope we have time to kind of work this through a little bit. If you take Social Security at age 66, then you're going to get the full retirement age. There's no penalties. If you wait till 70, then you're going to get 25%, let's say 32% more. Okay, you say, well, why wouldn't I do that? Because you've given up 4 years right. of Social Security. So let's do it in terms of percentages rather than absolute numbers. So you're giving up 100% at age 66, 100% at age 67, at age 68, and age 69. So you're giving up 400% of Social Security to wait till age 70. Then you start with 25% higher. Or 32% mm-hmm. higher, actually. Mm-hmm. So the question then becomes, how many years does it take to break even?
Yes.
You've lost 400%. How many years? Okay. So if you don't invest that money, in other words, we're assuming you didn't mm-hmm. need the money. Mm-hmm. If you don't invest it, 32 goes into 400 how many times? Well, about 13. Mm-hmm. So that'll tell you that in raw dollars, it takes you 13 years just to get to break even. Mm. So now you're age 83. So you're approximately the actuarial age, your lifespan at
right.
age 83.
Right.
And that's the way it's calculated to work that way. But if you had invested that money, because we're assuming you didn't mm-hmm. need the cash mm-hmm. flow, otherwise you would have had to take it, mm-hmm. okay, you're going to earn some amount of money, conservatively about 3% a year, and you're going to earn that 3% a year for 4 years and then another 13, okay? So now the break even isn't at age 83, it's like at age 85.
Oh, my goodness.
So when people ask me, should they take their
right.
Social Security at age 66, I say absolutely.
Right, right.
Do it. Unless
that
somebody
seems like
can
a
guarantee
no-brainer.
You're yeah. going to live into your 90s, yeah. by all means do it. Get it invested. Don't touch it, but take it. Now, the argument then becomes, well, isn't the same argument just as valid at age 62? And the answer is yes, it is, but it is only valid provided you decide firmly that you're not going to work and earn more than that $15,000 approximate.
And there could be other, like health, if you had health issues
too.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
Sure,
yeah,
other things. But Shelley, thank you so much for for putting that in context, because that folks always are asking, well, should I wait? Should I take 66? Yeah. Seems about right.
66, right? And it goes up to 67, okay. But that's it. And that's the problem with Social Security right now, is we have some changes that need to be made to keep it solvent through the baby boomer generation. And you're right. There's not enough emphasis among the candidates. They're, each one of them seems to have some idea of how to begin to fix the problem. But those fixes are very politicized right now and still a little amorphous. And the problem with Medicare, which is much more acute than the problem with Social Security and much more immediate, is hardly being addressed at all.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much. A good session. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, the best way to get a hold of you.
BuckmasterShow.com. Hit the hyperlink to me, and then I return the call.
Thanks, Shel. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Have another new sponsor, Green Things. Green Things is pretty easy to find. It's just off of River Road, 3384 East River Road, and they are just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things, I've been going there for years. They have everything you need for gardening. All of my roses from Green Things, I've got at least 24 plants. They've always done well. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com, for more information. Jan and Jack over there, the owners, do a fantastic job. Tell them that Bill Buckmaster sent you. Let's go now back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's welcome State Representative, and we'll have Bruce Wheeler on the live line in a moment. Bruce Wheeler, the assistant Democratic leader of the Arizona House. Assistant, we're having a little bit of trouble with the phones. Anyway, Bruce Wheeler representing District Number 10 here in Southern Arizona. While we are waiting for Mr. Wheeler to call us back, I want to again elaborate a little bit more about Green Things. They've got 33 warehouses. Yeah, they've got greenhouses full of plants, and they're getting ready for the spring planting season. So there should be plenty of flowers available for you over at Green Things. We started off the program with our interview with the governor, and we were talking about the situation with the Joint Technical District, JTED. And apparently the governor is still waiting for a JTED to the House to send over a piece of legislation that would restore $30 million to the Joint Technical Education District here in Tucson. That money, of course, was taken away by lawmakers and the governor during the last session. The governor, I asked the governor, well, why did we take it away in the first place? And he said it was needed to balance the budget because we were having some financial difficulties with the budget, and he said that it was necessary at that time. Well, we are still waiting for the JTED legislation to go over to the governor. Apparently, it passed fairly easily in the Senate and in the House, and then went back to the House for some tweaking. So, who knows what's going to happen there, but there is a time limit coming up here that needs to be restored as quickly as possible. We're coming up here on 12:37 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's see if we're going to get Bruce Wheeler on the live line, and we've got Bruce right now. Bruce, how are you?
Bill, really good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing well. We had the governor at the top of the program today, and he said he's waiting for the legislation to sign it about JTED. So where is it?
Well, his own party is they're playing some kind of game because the bill passed unanimously out of both the House and the Senate. There were different versions, but very, very slightly different versions. The problem is that you have two personalities, Senator Schooter and Representative Montenegro, Schooter in the Senate, Montenegro in the House, each wanting to take credit for it, even though Montenegro led a leading role in getting rid of JTED last year. So there's a personal squabble going on between Senator Schooter and Representative Montenegro, both of the Republican Party, trying to take credit for the bill, and so they're playing games over there. And yes, the governor is waiting, and so are we, and so are the students.
Isn't there a deadline coming up here on that?
It is coming up really soon because it needs to be taken into effect before July 1 so that we don't destroy JTED.
You know, I asked the governor about that editorial. I'm sure you saw it in the Arizona Republic, urging the governor to go slowly, they said, on tax cuts. And they also said the Republic said those bleak days of the deep deficits are over, but the governor said that he has been going slowly on tax cuts. Would you disagree with that?
Well, actually, I do agree with him.
Okay.
He did campaign on the promise to eliminate the personal income tax, which represents almost 50% of the entire revenue stream for the state of Arizona. So he's gone slow, quote unquote, in the sense that he has not introduced the elimination of the income tax last year nor this year. Does that mean we're out of the woods before the election of 2018? I don't know, but he needs to be given credit for not pushing it.
Are you backing Proposition 123?
I am, Bill, from the very beginning. It's not the increase for K through 12 funding that I would have preferred or that the majority of Democrats would have preferred. But the choice, I deal in a realistic world, and the choice is either $3.5 billion over the next 10 years, which translates to $600 million into the classroom this August when classes begin this fall, versus zero for the foreseeable future. So I campaigned on a promise of funding education. This takes a small but significant step. And I think that after this, we need to increase funding at least back to the 2008 levels so that we can properly fund education and not go from 49th to 48th in the nation regarding pupil performance and classroom investment.
How would you characterize this session, Bruce Wheeler?
I would say that it's not as contentious as it has been in the past. It's certainly not over. We saw the initial budget, which hopefully will change. For instance, after the governor and the legislature cut $99 million from the three state universities a year ago, they're now proposing $8 million more this year. So we're still in the net by $86 million less than we were over a year ago. So it's not over. It's really going to pick up. Ask me that question in 2 months and I'll have maybe a different answer. But so far, you know, we're listening to some of the ridiculous bills again, using silver and coin as legal tender and exempting capital gains from the use of silver and gold, which no county, city, or other jurisdiction has the capacity to deal with that as far as legal tender is concerned. So we're dealing with nonsense. We're still not addressing the real issues before us of education and at all levels, and that's unfortunate, but it's not as contentious, in my opinion, as it was 1 year ago.
This nonsense, as you say, it takes up time, doesn't it?
Well, sure. I mean, we're debating something regarding Iran, another bill regarding Israel this week. That's not why voters sent us here. They send congressmen to Washington to address those issues. So there is a lot of nonsense going on, and it's reflective of the extreme idealism that we've talked about in the past, which is still here. It's very alive and present, unfortunately. And to the governor's credit, he has kept an arm's distance from those more extreme factions. And even though he and I belong to different parties, I have to give him the respect for having done that successfully.
What's your future, political future, like, Bruce Wheeler?
I'll let you know in a month.
In a month. You're not running for re-election as a state representative, or are you?
I am not running for re-election to the state legislature. So I'm either reconsidering a run for Congressional District 2, or I'm going to be completely retired from politics.
What about your photography?
That will continue no matter what. You know, I just got back from a 2-month trip around the world, and someday I'll have to share those pictures with you. You may have seen some of them on Facebook.
And what was the highlight for you of that trip around the world?
Well, other than being with my entire family in Germany, the other highlight was traveling across Russia, across Siberia on the Trans-Siberian Railway.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Bruce Wheeler, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You bet, Bill. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bruce Wheeler, he is the assistant Democratic leader of the Arizona House of Representatives. He represents District 10. He is a Democrat. He will not be seeking re-election, he says, as a state representative. However, this is the first I have heard this. He says he is reconsidering a run for Congress in CD number 2. Let's take a break right here. Coming up on 1244, Buckmaster on a Tuesday. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We live stream the show, KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com, which means you can hear the program virtually anywhere that you have a computer. That means anywhere in the world. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. Arts, hiking, birding, exploring the Muggy-owned ghost town. Silver City's historic downtown makes a great weekend getaway just 3 hours east of Tucson. Plenty of nice places to stay, like Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort and Georgetown Cabins. Check out more at Silver City and Grant County's fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. A prominent Arizona historian is being enlisted to help advance the Arizona Capitol Museum. Secretary of State Michelle Reagan announcing that historian and author Jack August Jr. will be leading philanthropy and other work at the Arizona Capitol Museum. Jack is a former executive director at the Arizona Historical Foundation at ASU. He is a former Fulbright Scholar, National Endowment for the Humanities Research Fellow, winner of the Border Regional Library Association Southwest Book Award for Library Excellence, and a Pulitzer Prize nominee in history. He's got a bunch of books to his credit, including Adversity is My Angel, The Life and Career of Former Governor Raul Castro. He's written extensively about water. He's written about former Senator Dennis DeConcini, Carl Hayden, just to name a few. Jack, how are you?
Hey, great, Bill. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, I think we first met when you co-authored really Dennis DeConcini's biography.
Yes, it was. That's a unique book, and that's the book, by the way, you mentioned winning the Southwest Book Award for Literary Excellence. It's that's an international award, and Dennis and I, well, we co-authored it, and he it's written in the first person, and yet still has all of the traditional academic bells and whistles. And down there, the University of Arizona Press published that work, and I'm really proud of it. And it was great to work with the U of A and work with someone that was such a fine U.S. Senator, Dennis DeConcini, and he still, I consider him a good friend.
What does Secretary of State Reagan have in mind for you there at the Capitol?
Well, I think I was a bit surprised. I think she hopes that I lend a little credibility to this organization. One thing is that change is constant, and they wanted, I think, a historian associated with the museum and the archives and the library. But my main charge is to, given that I've been in contact with the philanthropic sector of Arizona, some of the law firms, businesses, others, that maybe we can have people consider giving back to the community, and the fact that it's been a wonderful life in Arizona, whether you're from Tucson or Phoenix or Flagstaff or Yuma or some of the smaller places, and we need to make people aware of this place, because this is one of the few Capitol museums in the country, and that it's a living place, and we have some needs for, you know, keeping a 115-year-old building, which is an iconic piece of architecture and a representative of our state's history. Got to keep it up and keep it living and active, and so that's really what she had in mind, and I'm really enjoying it. It's I feel like I'm giving back a little bit.
What are some of your marquee attractions for those who have not been to the historic Capitol and the museum? What do you have up there that would really pique the interest of a lot of people down here in southern Arizona, Jack?
Boy, I think people should see the old Senate chamber and the House chamber. They're just in remarkable condition. The former the governor's office, in fact, Thomas Campbell, I think our first governor since statehood, he had Tucson roots, and see his office. We have some wonderful Lon McGargy paintings that were commissioned by Governor Hunt, we have the USS Arizona exhibit, the silver set, just four floors of Arizona's history, it's really still used. In fact, many of our legislators continue to hold meetings and utilize these wonderful spaces. So it's a living and breathing place, and it's really, I want everyone in Southern Arizona, Tucson's important to me. I intend to be down there and let people know about the State Capitol Museum.
One of our callers, I believe Matthew is with us at 790-2040, wants to tap into your expertise, Jack August, in the water crisis area. Go ahead, Matthew.
Okay.
Go ahead, Matthew.
First of all, I want to congratulate Jack, and I think that they made an excellent choice on picking him because he brings a serious historical reality to current events, and because he has talked to the people who have made the history of Arizona. So thank you for doing what you're doing, Jack.
Hey, thanks, Matt. That's great.
Now, my question for you is, how do you, I know you've done work with regards to Arizona's leading families that have also dealt with the water crises and seen ahead of the curve. How do you plan to integrate that into an exhibit possibly in the future? Or are there already exhibits that basically demonstrate what we need to do to maintain that as a topic of major interest in the state? Thank you. Bye.
No, thanks. Thanks, Matt. That's a good question, and certainly, given that I've been involved both as an historian in writing the book on Carl Hayden, which is many ways his life and career was a metaphor for water resource development in the West, and as well as the book called Dividing Western Waters, Mark Wilmer, and Arizona versus California, which really deals with the legal history and institutional history of how Arizona, little David, beat big Goliath, California, over the rights to the use and distribution of Colorado River waters. I would certainly like to, number one, perhaps institute a speaker series, an annual speaker series, with hopefully some of our stakeholder institutions, private and public, in that, and reach out to the community, the academic community, both U of A, ASU, I shouldn't say both, including NAU, ASU, and U of A. There's great water expertise in all three universities, and I really think this is a forum. We have the space. It's at the state capitol. Our government officials are here, and so Matt asked a good question. I think not only my work in the history of this field, but also I think we can educate the present and hopefully make good decisions for the future with this kind of debate and this kind of public outreach and education.
Speaking of water, I'm going to be interviewing historian Douglas Brinkley. He's going to be talking about Theodore first President Roosevelt's contribution to conservation. I'll be interviewing him at the Book Festival, the first day of the festival on Saturday morning in early March. And I noticed in the Arizona Republic a question was asked of you about an essential fact about Arizona history that all of us should know about, and you really talked about something called the Newlands Reclamation Act of 1902.
Yes. First of all, getting Douglas Brinkley, what a get for you. I've had the fortune of meeting with him and talking with him about my book on Hayden, but of course he and I think agree that historians of the American West, if you were forced into a corner and had to discuss the most significant development in the 20th century West, here we are in the 20th century, 21st century, but I think many would agree with me that I think the Newlands Reclamation Act to dedicate the sale of public lands in the West to develop a water infrastructure, both for flood control, for irrigation, or for the generation of hydroelectric power, was probably the biggest game changer in terms of the growth and development of the West, as well as water conservation and preservation of our natural resources. That is perhaps, in Theodore Roosevelt's vision, is really one of the most essential elements in understanding the history of Arizona and other Western states.
Without that, Arizona never really would have gotten off the ground into a modern age, pretty much, would it?
No, not at all. And, I know Baja, Arizona, south of the Gila, they probably look askance or perhaps resent what happened in the Salt River Valley, but the Salt River and it's the confluence of the Verde and the Gila, that was the place to experiment with this new program to build dams and preserve water resources, and it worked better there. Of course, Tucson taps into the Central Arizona Project later, and yes, there was some controversy in infrastructure with the infrastructure and perhaps the quality of CAP water, but I think today we may have addressed many of those issues, though some of them are still, I know, outstanding.
All right, Jack, we'll look forward to getting you here in studio with me, and we'll spend a whole half hour with you talking Arizona history.
Hey, that's great, Bill. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Jack August, he is the state's new historian working up at the state capitol. Check out their museum. Sounds really interesting at our historic state capitol in Phoenix. Coming up this afternoon, our local talk continues 4 to 5 with the 4 Tucson show. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen have put that thing together, and it does very well, 4 to 5 in the afternoon. Then we start all over again, midweek edition with 4 hours of local talk. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey, his newest show here on KVOI. That program is titled Talk of the Town. My program is titled, it's easy to remember, if you know my last name, it's Buckmaster. And the Buckmaster Show returns tomorrow at 12:04. Ray Allen will be back. And until that time, we wish you a great afternoon and evening. Have a great day.